Learning Lezecha Nishmas Mindelbas Tzvi Hirsch Shmuel Tzvi Ben Zelig Yosef. We are on Mem Amud Beis. A quick recap of the Mishnah from yesterday. The Mishnah was very vague, which is going to be therefore the source of dispute in the Gemara. Mishnah spoke of an Eved Kanani who was designated by his owner as an aputiki, as the means of repayment of a loan that he owed to a creditor of his. So he told his lender, if I don't pay you back, this is where you'll take your payment from. And then, once again, very vague references, he freed him. Strictly speaking, the Eved is not liable, but due to a takana, we force Rabbo, we force his owner, to make him a Ben Chorin, and he writes an IOU. And Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel says, no, only the one who freed him writes the IOU. So very, very vague references here in the Mishnah. Who freed the Eved? And who, according to Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, has to write the IOU? And who, according to Tana Kama, has to write the IOU? So the Gemara is going to explain everything right now. Machloka Samurai. Says the Gemara, Mem Amibes. Eved Shaso Rabo Aputiki Veshechoro. An Eved Kanani, designated by his owner as the means of repayment of a loan to the owner's lender. So the Gemara asks, Mi Shechoro, who freed this Eved? Amar Rav. Rav is the first pshat in the Mishnah. Rabo Rishon. Rav says the one who freed the Eved is the first owner, meaning the borrower. Okay, so the borrower designated his Eved Kanani as the source of repayment for the loan to his lender. And then the borrower turns around and frees the Eved, thereby now depriving the lender from his means of recouping his loan. So Shuras Hadin, strictly speaking, Eino Eved Chayev Klum Rabo Sheni. The Eved is not liable to pay off the loan to the creditor. After all, Kidder Rava, like Rava says, the Da'amar Rava says, Hektish Chametz V'Shichur Mafkiyin Midei Shibud. If you have a lien on an item or on a person that is designated for payment of a loan, and then the borrower either declares that item to be hektish. And Rashi goes out as well to specify we're talking about hektish kedushas haguf, meaning I have an animal that I designate as the means of repayment of a loan to my lender, and the next day I declare my animal to be a karban, kedushas haguf. So that hektish is mafkia midei shibud. It essentially obliterates the lien that my lender had on my animal. Or chametz, I borrowed money from a non-Jew. And I tell him, okay, if I don't repay your loan, my whiskey collection, it's all yours. And then Pesach comes around, and before I've paid off the loan, all my whiskey becomes aser bahana because it's chametz. So that removes the shibud as well. It's not the non-Jew's whiskey, it's my whiskey, and now it's going to be aser because of chametz she'avalav ha-Pesach. And finally, shichur, as in our case here. I designate my Eved Kanani as the means of repayment of a loan to my lender. And then I turn around and I am Meshachur the Eved Kanani. Shichur is Mafki the Shibud. It removes all legal claim that the lender had on this Eved Kanani.
If it's Kedusha's Dumim, then they could. It's money. It can't be used for carbon. It can't be used for construction. So it's not, so they could sell it or whatever it is that the item is, right? That's why it's Kedusha's
Haguf. Dafka Kedusha's Haguf,
right.
Is effective and therefore removes the shibud of the lender. But Kedusha's Damim, the Koach of Hektish that results from this declaration of this item as Kedushas Damim, since you can buy it back, you can't remove the shibud from the item. Yeah. Right, because Kedushas Damim, you can be poda, you can do pidgin on it. Kedushas Haguf, you can't. Okay, so Therefore, Rav says, the pshat in the Mishnah is that the borrower, the Rabo Rishon, freed the Eved. By freeing the Eved, he renders the Eved a Ben Chorin and removes any and all lien and shibud that the lender had on this Eved. However, the Mishnah then says further, Ela b'nei tikkun ha'olam, but because of a takana. What's the takana? So the Gemara explains the last line. Shema yimtze en b'shuk. Maybe the lender will encounter this Eved Kanani in the street. V'yomar lo, top of the omen. And he will tell him, Avdi ata, hey, you're my slave. And that might spread rumors about the former Eved's now children, who truly are b'nei chorin, but this lender is claiming that they are avadim. So to avoid that, what do we do? Kofen es rabo sheni. When the Mishnah says kofen es rabo, that means kofen es rabo sheni. We force the lender, in other words, the osa oso ben chorin, to also render him a ben chorin. And then, the kosev eved shtar al damav. We then tell the eved, because for your benefit, we are insisting that the lender concede to your shichur, essentially. But now the lender is out his loan. So you, the Eved, must write an IOU to the lender. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Eino Eved Kosev, Elam Shachur Kosev. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, why is the Eved liable to the lender to pay off the loan that he never borrowed? The Meshachar is liable. The borrower, the first owner of the Eved, he's the one who writes the IOU to the lender because he's the one who borrowed the money. He's the one who freed the Eved. The Maikam was thinking, what's this Machlokas Tanakama and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel all about? The Mazik Shibudo Shachaveo Kemeflegi. Machlokas is, what is the status of one who damages irreparably the shibud, the lien of his friend, which is what happened here. The borrower freed the Eved, thereby destroying the shibud, the lien that the lender had on the Eved. So the machlokas is like this. The Mar Savra Chayev, Rabban Shimon and Ben Gamliel says that the borrower who was mazik, the shibud of the lender, is liable for it, and therefore he writes the IOU to the lender. Mar Savra Potter, whereas Tanakhama says, no, you can't obligate the borrower to pay the lender for hezek that he caused the shibud of the lender. The only one you can obligate to write the IOU to the lender is the Eved himself, because the Eved is the one who's benefiting ultimately from this takana to ensure that no one claims in the future that he's still an Eved. That's the machlokas here. And the Tosis explains that the scenario in this Mishnah is where at the time of the loan, the borrower said, you will only be able to collect your loan from the Eved. He is your only source of repayment. And that's why we're discussing now, okay, you're mazik his shibud, you've destroyed his ability to collect for his loan. Are you chayev, borrower, or are you putter, Mr. Borrower? But if the Eved is not the only source of payment for the loan, says Tosis, well then of course the borrower still has to pay the loan off from whatever other assets he still has. So the Machlokas here, says Tosis, is when the borrower had stipulated that this is the only source that you can recoup your loan from, and that's why we're discussing now, oh, you freed him, you've totally destroyed his ability to collect his loan now, are you chayim, are you putter? That's the Machlokas that Tosis explains, the Gemara is describing here. Okay, so once again, this is Rav's pshat in the Mishnah. The scenario in the Mishnah, according to Rav, is that someone borrowed money, declared that my Eved Kanani will be the only property you can seize as payment for your loan. The borrower then frees the Eved Kanani. Chazal did not want the lender to make allegations later on that the Eved is his Eved still. We therefore force the lender to also free the Eved, but we then compensate the lender by forcing either, according to Tanakhama, the Eved to say to the lender, okay, I'll pay back the value of your loan, or according to Shimon Gamliel, we force the owner of the Eved, the Meshacharer, to tell the lender, I'll make good on your loss. And that depends upon whether the Meshacharer, who is Mazik Shibudo Shachavero, is Chayav or not. This is Rav, and the Gemara now says, it Manami, we have a Rav as well, who said, Hamazik Shibudo Shachavero, if someone destroys the lien of someone else, Banan Machlokas Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel Rabbanan, this is the Machlokas Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel says, you're Chayav, and Rabbanan, Tanakhama for Mishnah says that no, you are not Chayav. So that's Rav's Pshat in our Mishnah. Ula Amar. Ula says no. Different Pshat. Mishichero. Who is the one in the Mishnah who freed the Eved Knani? Not the owner of the Eved, as Rav said, but rather Rabo Sheni, the lender, declared the Eved to go free. So when the Mishnah says, Shuras Hadin, Ein Ha'Eved Chayav Klum, that means, now the Gemara says, Shuras Hadin, strictly speaking, Ein ha'eved chayev klum, the eved is not chayev and not liable at all. That means b'mitzvos. That means the eved is not chayev b'mitzvos yet. Why? Because the lender is not his owner. The lender can't make him a ben chorin. So this shichur is very nice and all, but that doesn't make the eved chayev b'mitzvos. He's not a ben chorin. Who owns the eved right now? The first owner, the borrower, still owns the eved. So long as the lender hasn't seized the eved as payment, the lender is not the owner of the Eved.
Didn't we have a situation where if somebody say, you know, here's my house, lend me money. So that house does not belong now to the...
We had a shot by Mashkon. I give you a metaltalan object. So take this book, take it home with you, hold on to it. In case I don't pay you back the loan, you'll keep the book.
Right.
So there we had Machlokas, is Bachov Kona Mashkon or not? Is it as if it belongs to the Baal Chov already? Is not. Here we're dealing with an Eved who is declared, if I don't pay you, this will be the source of property from which you'll recoup your loan. So, similar, true. But here the Machlokas is as follows. According to Ula, the lender freed the Eved before he actually owned the Eved. Before he actually owned the Eved. We discussed Baal Chov Kona Mashkon, who's liable in case the Mashkon is lost. You know, Is it Peshus the Malva? Is it not Peshus the Malva? Mm-hmm. But here, who's the owner of the Eved? It's not the Malva yet. Mm-hmm. So Ula says that when the Mishnah speaks of the lender freeing the Eved, strictly speaking, the Eved is not Chayev. That doesn't mean, like Rav said, the Eved is not liable to pay back the loan. It means, says Ula, the Eved is not Chayev Mitzos yet. The Shichur is not a valid Shichur. Ella, rather, Mepnei Tikkanon for a Takana. What's the Takana now? Shai Yetzio Alav Hashem Menchorin. Takana is that people start hearing rumors this guy is free. So kofen esrabo rishon ve'oso so ben chorin. We force the real owner, the current owner, the first owner, to render him a ben chorin. To make him a ben chorin. Ve'kosev eved shtar al damav. And the eved, who's the beneficiary here, because he goes free, has to write an IOU to the first owner, whereas Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Eino Kosev Ela Meshachrer. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says no, the Meshachrer, the lender, has to write an IOU to the owner of the Eved for forcing him to free his Eved. What's the scenario here? Rashi explains. The case of Kortu Ula is that the loan was worth less than the Eved is worth. The loan is for $1,000. The Eved is worth $5,000. The lender, who's owed $1,000, frees the Eved, who's worth $5,000. As a result of his actions, Beis Din forces the owner to free the Eved too. So what has happened here? Really, the owner owed the lender $1,000. Because of the lender's reckless actions, now the owner is out $5,000, $4,000 more than he should have been giving up. So we compensate the owner according to Tanakama, by telling the Eved, hey, you're the beneficiary here, write an IOU to the first owner for the excess $4,000 that he lost. Or according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Eved's not at fault here, it's the lender who's at fault. The lender must now compensate the owner for the extra $4,000 that he lost. But Michael Biflagi, well, what is this machlokas dependent upon according to Ula? Why would Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel say that the Meshachar pays the first owner and Tanakama says the Eved pays the first owner? Behezek she'eno nikar k'miflagi. Machlokas is the lender caused the owner unrecognizable damage. There's no property broken here. There's no hezek we can point to and say, oh, look, he destroyed that. So ma'asav b'shmei hezek. So the shita of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is, too bad, you, the lender, forced the hand of Beis Din, so to speak, to force the owner to free the Eved. You're the one who caused the hezek here, so you pay him for it. Ma'asav b'lo shmei hezek. Tanakama says, no, there's no noticeable damage here. There's no noticeable damage here that the meshacher, the lender, caused the owner, and therefore the meshacher is not liable. The Eved, who's the beneficiary, is the one who has to pay. Okay, so machlokas, Rav and Ula in the Mishnah. Who freed the Eved? According to Rav, it was the first owner who freed the Eved. According to Ula, it was the lender who freed the Eved. What's the takana that Chazal were concerned about? According to Rav, the takana was that we don't want the lender to claim subsequently that you're my Eved now in lieu of my loan payment. So therefore we force the lender to free the Eved as well. Whereas according to Ula, the takana is we don't want people to think that this Eved is free when really he isn't, because the lender doesn't really have right to free him. But because people think he's free, we force the first owner to free the Eved. That's Machlokas Rav and Ula. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ula, my time will armor Karab. Why did Ula reject Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah? Amalcha, because Ula will say to you, Shani, Rabo Karslay? The Mishnah said, we force Rabo to make him a Ben Chorin. According to Rav, Rabo means the lender. Why is he called Rabo? He doesn't own the Eved. So therefore, Ula would rather say that Rabo means the first owner frees the Eved. Is forced by Beis Din to free the Eved. But Rav, my time will amakula. So why does Rav not like Ula's pshat? Amlacha, Rabo say to Ula, the Mishnah said, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Meshachrer, the one who freed him, writes the IOU. So says Rav, Sheni Meshachrer Karslei. You, Ula, think that the lender is the Meshachrer? After all, you yourself can see that the lender doesn't have the legal right to free the Eved. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say the Meshachrer refers to the lender. Rav would rather say the Meshachrer refers to the first owner, to the real owner. Okay, so this is the Nachlokes between Rav and Ula in the interpretation of the Mishnah. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Itmar, it was said. If someone renders or declares his field to be the source of repayment for his loan that he owes somebody, and then the field is flooded and it's destroyed. Ami Shapra No, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Ami Shapra No, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says, Eino Gova Mishar Nechasim. The lender has no recourse to collect his loan from other assets of the borrower. There was one field that was designated as payment for his loan. That field has been destroyed. Okay, so then you're stuck. It's all over. You can't seize other properties as payment for your loan. Whereas Avodah Shmuel said, no, Gova Mishar Nechasim. Just because this Aputiki field was destroyed because of the flood, the lender can still go to other properties of the borrower to seize payment for his loan. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mishum da Ami Shaper Nahu, just because he's called Ami Shaper Na'a, Omer Shmaita de Lo Shapiran, he says halachas that are not so well received. How can it be that the lender has no right to collect from any other assets of the borrower just because that one designated field has been flooded? To Targum Shmaita, you have to interpret his halacha to be the following. To Amale, this is a case where the borrower said to the lender, Lo yehe lecha piron elamizu. This is a case where the borrower specified at the time of the loan, this will be the only piece of property that you can take as payment for your loan. That's it, nothing else. Oh, so in that case, if that property is flooded, and they had already previously agreed this is your only source of property to collect the loan from, so then it makes sense that Rabbi Yochanan would say that, sorry, lender, you're out of luck. You can't collect your payment from anywhere else.
But doesn't it say apotiki? He says, sedehu apotiki.
True. So the question is like this. Does that mean that all he said was, if I don't pay you, take this field as payment? Well, if that's the case, that's not saying this is the only means of recouping your loan. It's just saying this is the first place you go. In other words, if I don't pay you cash, take this field as your payment. Okay, but if that field's flooded, so I can take other fields, other houses, other properties. But if you specified this will be the only property you can take for a payment of your loan, and then that property is destroyed, well, once the Mav accepted the terms of that deal, the property becomes his, ke'ilu. And if it gets destroyed and flooded, it's his loss, and he's out of luck. Tanya Melchid Baisa also says, someone designates his field as an aputiki to someone else who lent him money. And it was flooded. Go from Mishon Chasim. You can collect from other properties of the borrower. However, if he specified this is your only source of recouping your loan, then the lender has no right to take from any other properties. Tanira, another Baisa says, if one designates his property, a specific property, as the source of repayment of a loan to a bachov, vilik subas isha, or as the source of payment for the ksuba of his wife. Govin mishar nechassim. Govin mishar nechassim. The bachov, or the isha, has the right to collect from other properties as well. Meaning, this is not the only property you can take as payment for your loan. The lender can take from other properties, which means, says Rashi, by that same token, that the borrower, or the husband, in this case of the Ksubas Isha, can sell this property that was a putiki because other properties will pay off the loan. Aben Shimon, then Gamliel Omer, Balchov, Gov Mishan Chasim. Aben Shimon, then Gamliel says, when you're dealing with a borrower and a lender, so then other properties also are subject to that loan, to the lien of the loan, and therefore you can sell this property, they'll collect other properties, no big deal. But when it comes to Isha, to one's wife and her ksuba, eina gov mishana chasim. The woman, however, when it comes to the payment of her ksuba, we don't assume, yeah, you can sell that field, she'll take other fields. No, because when it comes to the payment of a ksuba, we assume that dafka, this field, is designated as payment for a ksuba, and she married you with that in mind, and therefore you can't sell this field and say, oh, she'll go somewhere else to get my other properties. No, she wants dafka, this field. Why? She'ain darka shalisha lachsar albati dinin. A woman is not comfortable having to go to court to figure out which property now do I take as payment for my ksuba. She wants it put in place already. This is the field, I know where to go, this is what I take, done. So he can't sell that field and say, oh, she'll collect from other fields. No, she doesn't want to deal with that. She doesn't want to go to court and start figuring out where to go. She wants to know this field and that's it. And therefore, this field is the one field that she can collect her ksuba from. And if you sell that field, the purchaser has to give it back to her as payment for her ksuba. Now, this is the field that she is entitled to take her ksuba from. Fine. Next, Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Mi shechatzio eber v'chatzio ben charon. What is the halachic status of an eber knani who is half eber and half ben charon? Now this is a famous, although perhaps not so common, but a famous halachic construct that Minchas Chinuch always uses as his test case. Minchas Chinuch, you know, is analyzing various halachos and mitzvos. He often will throw in, what would the status of a chatzi eved and chatzi ben choron be with regard to this mitzvah? He uses it like his test case for pushing the limits of the halachic analysis. I actually just read that when David Soloveitchik was a 12-year-old soon-to-be bar mitzvah boy in Brisk. So his father, Brisk Rav, took the bar mitzvah boy drasha very, very seriously. It wasn't like, you know, some fluffy bar mitzvah speech that, you know, thank you, one and all, for coming, and thank you, mommy, thank you, daddy. It was like a real lumdish shadrasha that the bar mitzvah had to give. So 2 days before his bar mitzvah, he says, scratch that, we're writing another drasha, this is the topic. Chatzi eved, chatzi ben choron. This poor 12-year-old had like suddenly mastered this shtickle lumdish on chatzi eved, chatzi ben choron. He was so nervous that apparently his father said to him, when you speak in the main shul and brisk at the bar mitzvah, just look at a simcha zelig. Because he's such a smiley, warm, soothing presence. Just look at him and he'll make nervous. You feel confident. Just look at him, don't be nervous. So this is the drasha, the topic of the drasha of Abdullah Slavich, the bar mitzvah drasha.
My bar mitzvah shtetl was in Yiddish. The only thing I remember is Masech the Shabbos Daf Yud Bezuk the Gemara. That was it. I don't remember any of it.
Okay, says the Mishnah. So what's the din? Mishnah chatzu eved v'chatzu ben choron. You have someone who's half eved knani, half ben choron. So now how does that happen? So Rashi says the most common scenario is you have two partners or two brothers who owned an eved jointly. And one says, I can't stand this. I'm out of the eved business. I'm freeing my eved. So he declares his eved to be a ben choron. But he only owns half the eved. Now you have this scenario where this individual is half Eved, half Ben Choron. So what happens here? It says the Mishnah, Oved es rabo yom echad, ves atzma yom echad. Okay, so if he's half Eved, half Ben Choron, so alternate days. One day he works for his remaining owner, the next day he works for himself. The next day he works for his remaining owner, next day he works for himself. That's, and you just split his productivity, essentially. One day for me, one day for you. That's basically all. Beshame says, Tikanta Mesrabo. That's very nice. You made arrangements to ensure that his owner is provided the work that he is owed. That's Asmo Tikanta, but you haven't dealt with the status of the individual Eved himself. How so? Lisa Shivcha Iefshar. He's not allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. Why? Shekvar Chatzir Ben Chorin. Because he is partially Ben Chorin. And a Ben Chorin is not allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. So although ordinarily an Eved Knani can marry a Shivcha Knanis and they can live happily ever after, but a Ben Choron can't marry a Shivcha Knanis. So this individual now is half Ben Choron. So he's not allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. So what then are you going to tell me, Amid Beis? Bas Choron Yefshar, nor can he marry a Bas Yisrael, Shukra Chatzio Eved, because he's half Eved. And a Bas Yisrael can't marry an Eved Kanani. Yibatel, you'll tell me, okay, so he'll remain single. You can't do that. Bahalo, lo nivra ha'olam, ela lepiria verivia. The purpose of the world being created was for it to be settled. After all, Shneimer Pasuk says, Losohu v'ra'a l'shabes yitzara. In other words, God did not create the world in order for it to be empty. He created it in order to be inhabited. So therefore, you have to engage in reproductive activity. So you can't just tell this shchatzi eved, chatzi ben choron, don't get married. So what do you do, says Beshamai? Ella, rather, nepnei tikkun ha'olam, in order to rectify the situation, what you do is, kofin es rabo, you force the remaining owner, v'osa oso ben choron, he must free the eved, so the eved can marry a bas Yisrael. And because we forced his hand, and the beneficiary here is the eved, so therefore v'kosev shtar al chatzi dama. The eved then has to write an IOU for half of his value, which is the loss that the remaining owner sustained, to pay him back for it. V'chazu, Beisilel, L'hosk, the Beishamai, and Beisilel ultimately conceded that Beishamai is correct. That Beishamai is correct. Okay. Now there is a famous Tosfos here. Tosfos at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph questions the following. You're telling me that we can't allow this Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin to marry a Shifcha. Why? Because that's Usser. You're a Ben Chorin. You can't marry a Shifcha. It's a lav for a Ben Chorin to marry a Shifcha. The Pasuk says, V'lo yiya kodesh mibnei Yisrael. Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, which Unklus translates to mean, V'lo yisav guvra mibnei Yisrael ita ama. A Jewish man cannot marry a maidservant. This is an issa deraisa of lo yiya kodesh mibnei Yisrael, that a ben chorin cannot marry a shifcha kananis. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Bishamai is arguing, you can't allow this half Eved, half Ben Chorin to marry Shivcha because he'd be over a lav deraisa of Lo Yiyah Kodesh B'Bnei Yisrael. So Tosfos asks, I understand, does the mitzvah say on this half Ben Chorin of Pru Revu? And you're bothered by the fact that, no, he can't do Pru Revu by marrying a Shivcha because there's a lav deraisa on this Ben Chorin, on this half Ben Chorin of Lo Yiyah Kodesh. So I understand, says Tosfos. Asay Pru Revu. Los Asay, don't marry a Shivcha. Why, asks Tosfos, does the Mishnah say, Beishamai argues, and Beisilel agrees ultimately, that you can't allow the Chatzi Ben Chorin to marry a Shivcha Kananis because there's a lav deraisa for a Jew to marry a Shivcha, but there's a mitzvah saseh deraisa Pru Revu. Asay, dochalos asay. Pasha. So Tosfos' answer is very interesting. One of his answers, that is. His answer is, when is Asay Dochalos Asay relevant? When at the very same moment that you violate the Los Asay, you're Mekayim a Mitzvah Asay. Okay, so the Asay is Docha, the Los Asay. The Asay of wearing Tzitzis overrides the Los Asay of wearing Shatnez. They're concurrent. Okay, so Asay overpowers Los Asay. But here says Tosfos, this is why this is a well-known Tosfos, the asay of Pru Revu is not concurrent with the los asay violation of having relations with a shifcha. Why not? Seems like it's the very same moment. Bia of a chati ben chorin with a shifcha, isn't that also the mitzvah asay Pru Revu? So Tosfos makes this very subtle distinction. He says, when does one violate the isser of bia? At the beginning of the bia process. When does one fulfill the mitzvah asay of Pru Revu? Now, the point of obviously is not at the beginning of the bia process, but when?
Child is born.
Oh, so I would have thought Tosfos would say when the child is born. Pru Revu, my child is here. No, Tosfos says, you're Mekayim Pru Revu at the conclusion of the bia process, which is at that moment that the woman is ro'i lehis aber, capable of conception. So it's a very interesting definition of when one fulfills the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Tosfos is saying Pru Revu is fulfilled not at the beginning of the bia process when the isser of bia is violated, not when the child's born, which is what I might have logically thought, oh, now I have my child. Mm-hmm. But rather, says Tosfos, the kiyum of Pru Revu is at the conclusion of the bia process when the woman is chazir lehis aber, when at this moment, there is now finally potential for conception. That's the kiyum, says Tosfos, of Pru Revu. Wow. It's just an interesting Tosfos that is discussed by the Chorin. When exactly is the kiyum of Pru Revu? According to Tosfos, it's at the moment that she is chazir lehis aber, that she is capable of becoming pregnant. Not necessarily that she gives birth, is what we're trying to say, but when she is capable of becoming pregnant. Okay, and this is a discussion amongst the Achronim. The Minchas Chinuch, we referred to earlier, says, no, what are you talking about? Prove what we all know, when I have a boy and a girl. So you're Mekayim the mitzvah only once you have that boy and that girl. So the Gemar Bia that Tosfos talks about is the action necessary to get me to the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is only when I get to the boy and girl being born. Because that's a fascinating discussion in Lumdus, when the Kiyum of Peruvu is fulfilled. Okay, moving on. Says the Gemara, Amei Beis, Tanu Rabban the Braisa says, HaMishachrer Chatzi Avdo. Let's say you have one owner of an Eved Kanani, and he frees half the Eved. Right, the Mishnah we were discussing, you have two partners, and one frees his share of the Eved, which results in a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. But let's say you have one owner, and he tells the Eved, I'm freeing half of you. Does that work? Rabbi Omer Kana, Rabbi says, yes, half the Eved is freed, half is not. The Chachamim Omer Lo Kana. Chachamim say, no, that does not work. Kis machlokas, Rebbe and Chachamim, can you free half your Eved? And now machlokas Amoraim, what exactly is the context of this machlokas Tanoim? So Amar Rabba says, machlokas b'shtar. The machlokas Rebbe and Chachamim, whether you can free half an Eved, is when you are freeing the Eved with a shtar shechur. The Rebbe, Savar Rebbe, who says you could free half the Eved holds, v'hafdei lo niftasa. Ochufsha lo nitanla. Rebbe holds that when the Pasuk speaks of a man having bia with a shifcha, who was designated for an Eved Ivri, and the Pasuk speaks of the shifcha as hafdei lo nifdasa, redeemed and not redeemed, or not given her shtar shichur, not given her freedom. So the Pasuk is describing, again, a scenario of a Yisrael who has bia with a Shifcha Kananis, who was designated to an Eved Ivri, and the Pasuk speaks of this individual being Chayav a Karban Asham, but the Shifcha is described as one who is Chatzia Shifcha, Chatzia Baschorin, half freed, half not freed. But in describing the Shifcha status, the Pasuk speaks of Hafdei lo neftasa, o chufsha lo nitan la. So, Rabbi Safar Rabbi says, means makish shtar lekesef. There's a hekesh there between freeing a eved with shtar chufsha onitamla and freeing an eved with kesef, when the eved or someone else buys the eved's freedom. Haftel neftasa. What does that hekesh teach you? Ma kesef ben kulam ben chatzio. When you buy the eved's freedom, so depending on how much you pay, either you buy the eved's entire freedom or you buy half the eved's freedom. Aftanami ben kulam ben chatzio. The Hekesh teaches me, so too, when you free a Eved with a shtar shechur, you can, Rebbe argues, free half the Eved. Rabbanan gamri la lama isha. Rabbanan say no. We learn rather a gzereshava of chufsha lo nitan la, that's the shtar shechur of an Eved, to the word la found in the context of the get of a wife. Because of la, say for Grisos. What does that teach us? Ma'isha chatzilo, you can't divorce your wife halfway. Av eved ami chatzilo, you can't free your eved halfway. That's the machlokas, Rebbe and Chachamim, whether when you free an eved with shtar shechur, can you free half the eved? Ava bekesef tiver kol kana. But everyone agrees, says Rabba, that if you have an eved who's being freed because his freedom is being bought from the adon, that you could buy half the eved's freedom. Peduya ve'ena peduya. Because after all, the Havdil Naftasa implies you could buy the Eved freedom halfway. So too, everyone agrees that Kesef, used as a means of freeing an Eved, can accomplish half of an Eved's Shechur. Sigma says, Lema Blakim Mefagi. So according to Rabba, maybe the Machlokas, Rebbe, and Chachamim is as follows. Demar Sova Hakesha Difa, that Rebbe holds the Hekesh is stronger. The Hekesh of Shtar Shechur to Kesef is the primary limud, and that teaches me that just like Kesef, you can free half an Eved, so too through Shtar, you can free half an Eved. Marsa, Rechacham say no, Gzer Shava Difa, the Gzer Shava of Shtar Shechur Eved to get Isha is stronger than the Hekesh, and the Gzer Shava teaches me that just like you can't divorce half your wife, you can't free half an Eved. Sigma says, no, that's not the pshat in the Machlokas Rebbe Chachamim. To Kuliyama Gzer Shava Difa, it could be everybody agrees Gzer Shava is stronger than Hekesh. And that's why Chacham say, just like get, you can't divorce half your wife, so too Shtar Shechor, you can't free half an Eved. But here, Rebbe argues, because Rebbe will say, you can ask as follows. Mali Isha Shekein Eni Yotze B'Kesef. Here, the Gzer Shabbat to Isha is not so strong, because an Isha is not exactly like an Eved. You can't divorce your wife with Kesef. Tomer Be'Eved, She Yotze B'Kesef. But an Eved, you could buy the Eved's freedom with Kesef. So Dafke here, the Hekish of Shtav Shukhar to Kesef is stronger than the Gzer Shava of Shtav Shukhar to get Isha. And that's why Rebbe says you could free half your Eved with Kesef, and even with Shtar. Okay, so the bottom line is, according to Rabba, the Machlokas Rebbe and Chachamim, whether you can free half an Eved is that everyone agrees by Kesef that is being used to purchase the Eved's freedom, you can free half the Eved. Machlokas is by Shtar, Shukhar, can you free half the Eved? Rebbe says yes, Rabbanan say no. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef argues in Rabba, and he says no. Machlokas be Kesef. Machlokas is when you purchase the freedom of the Eved with Kesef. Rabbi Sabar Havdela Nafdasa. Rabbi says the phrase Havdela Nafdasa means Peduya and Peduya, that she's half freed, half not freed through Kesef. Rabbanan Sabar, Rabbanan say no, she's not half freed. The phrase is rather Debatok Lashmi Adam. It's just an expression, Havdela Nafdasa. Doesn't mean she's half freed. You can't free half the Eved with Kesef. But everyone agrees, says Rabbi Yosef, that by Shtar you certainly can't free half of the Shivcha Kananis, or half of your Eved. So according to Rabbi Yosef, everyone agrees that by Shtar you can't free half an Eved. Machlokas is by Kesef. Rabbi says yes, Chacham say no. And it comes down to Machlokas of what's the status of this Shivcha Nechrefes Lish. Is she half freed, which is what Rabbi says? No, maybe rather, as Rabbanan said, according to Yosef, she's a regular Shivcha Gemura. She's not freed at all. Basically, the Gemara asks the Kasha, we learn as follows. Hameshachar chatzi avdu b'shtar. The price is beferish. You free half your Eved with a shtar. Rabbi Amarkana, chavim lokana. So you see beferish, that by shtar, they argue, can you free half an Eved or not? Tifta, Rabbi Yosef, tifta. That's clearly a refutation of Rabbi Yosef, who said that by shtar, everyone agrees they can't free half an Eved. Here you have a brisa where it's clear the machlokas is even by shtar, can you free half an Eved or not? The Gemara says, furthermore, b'shtar ho de pligi. This brisa implies the machlokas is dafka b'shtar. Ava b'kesef lo pligi. But maybe the brisa implies that by kesef they all agree that you could free half of an Eved. Lema seve tufta Rav Yosef retarti. That also is proof against Rav Yosef. Because not only does the brisa prove that the machlokas tanoim is by shtar, but it also sounds like that they all agree by Kesef. And that's also against Rav Yosef, who said that the Machlokas is by Kesef. So Gemara says, Amul Chav Yosef, Yosef will answer no. Pligi b'shtar, v'vodim b'kesef. I can tell you that, yes, the Brisa proves they argue by shtar, whether you can free half an Eved with the shtar, but I'll argue, perhaps, says Rav Yosef, that they also argue whether you can free half an Eved by Kesef. So why does the Brisa cite the Machlokas Rebbe and Chachamim Dafka by freeing an Eved with a shtar? Perhaps to show you the Chiddush of Rebbe, that even by freeing an Eved with a shtar, he holds you can still free half an Eved, but maybe who within by Kesef also, he would hold you can free half an Eved. Will not mention the Machlokas is by Kesef, according to Rebbe Yosef, to show you the Chiddush of the Chachamim, who said that you can't free half an Eved even by Kesef. Answers the Gemara, Koach, the Terah Adaflei. The Brisa of Yosef will tell you, would rather tell you the Chiddush of Rebbe, who is more Mako, that you could free half an Eved, not just by Kesef, but even by Shtar. So I'll have to leave here by Tashma. I'll start here tomorrow with the Esos Hashem, where we will continue this Machlokas, Rav Yosef and Rabba, how to understand the Machlokas, Rebbe, and the Chachamim.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Good day.